Good evening. I forgot to turn this on. Amazing. There we go. I think I'm on now. This evening I'm going to start a lesson and kind of work my way into it. And I'd like to see how soon you can discover the topic as we're talking about. Now, if you've read the bulletin carefully, this morning at the end of the bulletin there's a lesson, you know, for Sunday night, and you may know already what we're going to be talking about. If not, if you'll listen closely and take a few clues, I think you'll figure it out real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. And both sides of that equation are imperative, aren't they? If we're not speaking the truth, we're not helping anybody, right? And if we're not doing it with the spirit of love, we're not helping anybody either. You go to the doctor, you want a doctor who speaks the truth, i.e. they have good medical knowledge, but you also want to go to a doctor who has a good bedside manner, is what we usually say. Someone that you can relate to and say, that's a real human being. He understands me in some way. You want somebody to listen to you. So both truth and love are imperative in a relationship. During the next 20 minutes, you're going to have the opportunity to practice a very foundational skill for relationship building. That practice will come on your part for the next 20 minutes as I speak. Have you guessed what the skill is we're going to be talking about tonight? Listening. Listening well. This skill, when it's practiced in relationships, is foundation for building effective relationships and maintaining effective relationships. It's been said, and I've said it several times, but you might have missed one of those times, so I'll say it about the 13th time. God gave us two ears and one mouth, and most of the time we should use them proportionately. That is, we should be able to listen more than we speak. And you're doing that so well right now. And I'm doing that so poorly, aren't I? There are times that that rule is put aside and violated. But in general, it's good to listen more than you speak. So we're going to talk about listening tonight. Proverbs 18:13 enjoins, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. And boy, I've caught myself doing that a few times. Have you? You're already thinking how you're going to respond to this person while they're talking, and you're not really even listening anymore. You've kind of cut them off, and you hear the voice, but you're not processing the whole person if they're expressing what they're expressing to you. Because you're ready to get back and talk to them and give them an answer. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. It's a 3,000-year-old problem. Just look at the book of Proverbs. So before we endeavor to speak the truth in love in our relationships, we need to listen well. And tonight we're going to talk about life-changing communication through listening. And you say, Mark, how do you change somebody by listening to them? You might be surprised the value of listening in building a relationship. Now, words alone do not just change people, because people don't always just need information. What they need is understanding and compassion, a sense that we're connecting to them. And that's what listening does. Good listening connects people together. Spiritually speaking, we sing a song. It's in our purple book, number 15. No, 51. I've got that backwards. 51. Listen to our hearts. Now, I'm not going to sing the song to you tonight, but many of you have heard the song, haven't you? And the basic idea is, Lord, we're not very good at expressing ourselves, so please listen to our hearts when our voices don't say it exactly right. The passage I referred to this morning, found in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to the will of God. One of the tasks of the Holy Spirit is to help communicate our heart's desire to the Father, even when we don't know how to put the words together real well. God listens to our hearts and communicates as we listen to Him. This heart-to-heart communication changes us, it transforms us. Listening well changes people. Did you hear that? Listening well changes people. And you're doing so good at that tonight. You're listening so well. And you're already a quarter through the sermon, and you're already listening well. Thank you. Now, we live in an information age. If I want to know something, it doesn't take me too long to turn on this little magic box, push the right button, ask a question, and get an answer. Have you noticed that? That information was not available a number of years ago. We had to go the old-fashioned way. When I was a kid, "Dad, what does this word mean?" "Go look it up in the dictionary, son." "Dad, what is this event that took place?" "Go look it up in the encyclopedia, boy." You see, I had to do research. I didn't just press a number on a phone and get instant information like we do today. But here's the caution. Sometimes we're so convenient to the information in our world, but we've lost touch with the relationship. And it's not just information that transforms us. Information that transforms is in the context of relationship. And that's why I have a little saying that ministry takes place through the relationships. Our most effective relationship building is likely to be our most effective ministry. Now, there's a place for telling people information. I understand that. I do that from the pulpit. But ultimately, true ministry change, personal change, is usually in the context of a relationship between people. People need more than information. They need transformation, and that transformation occurs best through a strong relationship. Now, that's the introduction, and we're not even to the main points yet. But the point is this. Good listening is transformational. It changes us into a heart-to-heart communication that makes personal change possible and transformation possible. And you've already practiced that for the last 5 minutes through good listening. Thank you. So, here are my points, main body. How do we listen well? We learn to be quiet when we need to be quiet. Sometimes we learn more from a sermon than just the content. Sometimes we learn something from the sermon by being quiet. You know, one of the things about our world, we're so busy, there's always noise in the background. Sometimes I just need to be still and remember that God is there. And sometimes that's one of the values of coming to church, is just being still and know that I am God, if I can recommend that scripture to you. And I admit that there are times that you listen to a sermon and it's not what you're interested in, or it's boring sometimes. I've been there. There may be a sermon that just bores you. But you know, if that's the case, find some way to engage God quietly. If you have to tune me out, I give you permission. Read God's Word, reflect, or just be still and feel the presence of God as you are in a place of quietness. So our society is so fast-paced, sometimes church might be one of the few places we actually just get to sit still without engaging in a verbal way. The skill that we practice on Sunday of listening has value on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. James tells us everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Good listening begins, by learning to be quiet at times. Sometimes we just need to be still and be quiet. And not just listen to the words, but listen to the heart of the person. And that leads me into point two. Good listening is compassionate. It's compassionate. It's not just about being silent and being respectful. It's about a heart connection with the person who is sharing something with you. That quiet person may or may not be a good listener. And some of us are so in love with our own voices or our own wisdom that we have a hard time just being quiet and listening to somebody else and showing them the respect that we care about what they're expressing. If our listening is thinking about how I'm going to rebut them, how I'm going to answer them, how I'm going to come back at them, whatever term you want to use, we're not really listening, are we? We're just preparing for the next time I get to speak. That debate mentality causes poor relationships, because the kind of listening we're talking about tonight is not listening that wins arguments, it's listening that wins hearts, and that requires compassion. Debaters may make mind connections, but good counselors make heart connections. And there's a place for debate, I understand that. But relationships are built through the counselor model, not through the debating model. A good listener listens compassionately to the person that is speaking with an open heart. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 40 and 41, listen to the story about Jesus. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. You get the picture? Here's a man of desperation. I got a bad disease. I'm begging you, Jesus. I'm getting on my knees for you, Jesus. Here's what he says. If you're willing, you can make me clean. How did Jesus respond? Mark 1 says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Jesus listened enough to be filled with compassion, to allow himself to be moved, emotionally moved by this man's request. Compassion connects hearts. That's good listening. Jesus listened well. Let's listen with the compassion of Jesus. Number 3 this evening. A technical term, but you don't have to impress anybody with it. It's not a big word. It's called perception check. When you're listening to somebody and sometimes they're kind of honing in on something, but you're not sure exactly if you got what they're saying, you can use this little technique. It's called perception check. You know, back in the book of Job in the Old Testament, he cried out to his friends in just plain old desperation, "Oh, that I had somebody to listen to me." Remember Job's friends? They didn't help him much, did they? They preached him a good sermon, but they didn't really listen to his heart. They didn't listen to Job's heart. Those three friends had been listening to words, but they hadn't connected to Job's heart. And a perception check is a way of saying, is this what I hear you saying? You see, a perception is not only about information, it's about feelings. So you might be saying, am I hearing you saying how frustrated you are or how annoyed you are? Are you angry? Are you depressed? Are you feeling betrayed? And you're naming a feeling that you think you may be hearing, but you're not sure if you're hearing it right. So you perceive this and you check that perception. Am I hearing you right? That's called a perception check. Because that person connects to you not just because you've listened to them, but because you understand the feeling that they're trying to express, but haven't quite put in words. And when you name that feeling or get close to naming that feeling, hone in on naming that feeling, you will then win wonderful relationships with that points with that person because they say, you understand me. Job's friends didn't get that. They hadn't been to school. They didn't understand this. A perception check makes you a better listener because you're listening for a person's feelings, not just the facts that they may be telling you. Number 4 this evening. Reflective listening is also a tool in the toolbox to listen well. What is reflective listening? It's similar perception check, but a little different. In perception check, you are naming usually a feeling and asking, is this what you're trying to tell me? Reflective listening is when you parrot back the words to the person, not exactly what they say, but the gist of what they say. They've been talking to you for 5 minutes, and you reflect back in 10 seconds. This is what I hear you saying. Am I correct? That's an opportunity for reflective listening. What I heard you saying is blah, 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 blah. Am I listening correctly? Am I hearing you correctly? Reflective listening helps the listener know that you've heard their heart. You understand their situation. It's reflecting back the gist of what they say. Obviously, you're not there to repeat back, just parrot the words. But you're parroting it down to a smaller level and saying, is this what you're telling me? Reflective listening. Number 5. For listening well, questions help clarify and deepen a heart-to-heart conversation. Jesus was a master teacher. And one of the reasons Jesus was a master teacher is Jesus knew how to ask questions. Now, that's not unique to Jesus in the ancient world. The Socratic method of asking questions obviously goes back to the Greeks. But there's different types of questions we can ask, and some questions are better than others at connecting hearts and listening to people. There are closed questions, which are yes or no questions. Those are not so good about connecting to hearts. Sometimes we need a yes or no question just to get information together, and that's all right. But the better questions to ask are open-ended questions that invite the speaker to share more deeply of what's going on in their heart. Questions may be asked to aid understanding of facts, but also to elicit opinions and clarify feelings and search for value. And Jesus was a master at this. Listen to these texts. I'm going to go first to John chapter 2 at verse 4. He's at the wedding in Cana in Galilee. His mom has just asked him, "Hey, son, they're out of wine. Would you do something about this?" And Jesus said, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Now, Jesus is not being rude here, but Jesus is asking his mom a question. "I want you to explain yourself. You've asked me to be involved in this situation of the wine. Why are you involving me here? Why are you calling on me here?" You could go over to John chapter 4 and verse 7. Jesus asks the woman of the well, "Will you give me a drink?" A simple request begins conversation among among strangers. Have you ever been sitting in the waiting room at the doctor's office and somebody says, "Pardon me, do you have the time?" Or, "I don't have a cell phone with me. Can you check what the weather forecast is for today?" And you do them that little favor, and then a conversation ensues, right? Well, that's the way good listening is when you ask questions. In John chapter 5, Jesus asked the invalid, "Do you want to get well?" Jesus knew how to ask the right question for the right situation. So although Jesus used this Socratic method of asking questions, his most frequent tool in engaging people was actually to throw out a statement of truth and let them grapple with it and see how they responded to it. Jesus did not draw truth out of people. He gave them truth and then invited them to interact with that truth. For example, when Jesus and Nicodemus were talking, Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Now, that was a truth to be grappled with. "What do you mean, Jesus? How does this new birth occur? What are you talking about?" Jesus is here throwing out information, spiritual truth, and letting Nicodemus grapple with it. Now, here's some other suggestions to become a good listener. Occasional eye contact to the person that's speaking means a lot. How do you feel when you're doing the talking and somebody's going, "Da da 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 da"? Probably a little offended, right? And wisely so. Because good eye contact tells you I'm engaged with you. Now, occasional eye contact does not mean I'm doing a stare down test here, okay? It's not that I'm here to stare you out. That's not what we're talking about. But occasionally catching that person's eye or putting your eye over their shoulder or something, where they see that you're engaging with them. Number two, become a good listener by waiting patiently and not interrupting them. Sometimes people have a story to tell that takes more than just a few seconds. And it's really hard for me to wait because I want to, let's move this on here. But they need to get the story out. They want to be heard. I need the patience to listen. Now, if they run on for a long time and you've got a question, now I'm an old school teacher, but this still works. Just raise your hand a little bit. It's just the two of you, but if you just raise your hand a little bit like that, you know what that does? That signals to them, you got something to say. And they usually will pause and you can say something at that point. Just a little hand raise is all it takes. Don't go like this. It's not a classroom. Just a little like this is all you need. Be a good listener. Don't change the subject prematurely. when you think they're about through with the subject, but you're not sure, you might say, is there anything else you'd like to tell me on this before we move on? That invites them to have the last word, and that shows respect. When you're listening to someone, occasionally nod your head. I don't mean nod off. I mean occasionally nod your head to show that you're following what they're saying, something like that. You know, you don't have to be a bobblehead doll. It's not that. It's just a matter of occasionally you nod your head. It's a way of acknowledging that you're following them. Here's another one that's important. If you're one-on-one with someone and you're listening intently, lean forward toward them just a little bit. Just a little bit of leaning forward communicates that you're connecting and you're involved and you want to hear what they're saying. You know, if you're sitting in the chair and leaning back, got your hands back your head like this, oh, that shows that you're a little less interested in what you're saying, right? If you want to cue in them that you're interested in what they're saying, lean forward just a little bit in a seating position, and they'll get that message that okay, you're involved with me. Be aware of their body language as well as your own, of course. And remember that listening to someone does not necessarily mean agreeing with everything they say. Here's one I have to work on, especially being a preacher. You're talking to somebody and they come up with what I'll call some bad theology, unbiblical stuff. The first thing I'm tempted to do, but you know what the Bible says about what you just said? Well, there's a time to correct people, but there's also a time to let something pass if that's not the main subject of conversation, and deal with something that's more germane to what you're talking about. Remember that listening with someone does not necessarily you mean agree with everything that they have said. So avoid the temptation to correct everything with which you may disagree. There comes a time for correction, but just make sure it's an important thing you're picking on and not something that's not germane to the conversation. And the next point, when I say be slow to dispense advice, I mean what James said when he said, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, we all need advice, and we need the counsel of many teachers, as we talked about in Proverbs this morning. So I'm not against giving advice. We need to advise each other and help each other. But let's be careful not to jump the gun to say that I've got the answer to this. If you'll just do what I say, everything will be all right. Let's not assume too much. I have a quote from Carolyn Hooper I'd like to share with you on listening. Please listen to me. Hear what I'm saying. Not just the words that come from my mouth, for I can talk and not really say what I mean. Words can be a cover-up, a mask. So listen carefully. I may be crying for help. My heart speaks. Pay attention. It takes courage to share with you and let you see me as I am. It takes time to drop the facade. So stay quiet and listen. Listen with more than your ears. Listen until I've said what I've ached to say. I thought you would enjoy that quote. And after you've listened well to a friend, you've earned the right to speak the truth in love to that friend. But until we listen well to someone, we do not have the right to run over them with truth. Listening builds the relationship, shows the respect, and paves the way to speak a word of God's truth into a situation. But remember, we listen first, and we speak second. Listen longer than you speak. And remember that God gave you two ears and one mouth, and a lot of time it's good to use them proportionately. And tonight you have listened well for 20 minutes. Thank you. And your attentive listening is a favor to any speaker. But you know, if you've listened to me for 20 minutes, I'll bet you can listen to your spouse or your child for 20 seconds this week, don't you think? I think so. You can show them the same respect and interest in their life that you have shown me by listening to this presentation this evening. If you've not submitted your heart to Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 3, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears my voice, he says, and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The Lord wants us in relationship to him. Jesus knocks at our door, but he won't break it down. He requires that we choose to open the door to him. And tonight, if you've not yet opened your door to Jesus Christ, need to respond to him in faith, repentance, and baptism, or ask the prayers of this church, Jesus will be listening. He'll be listening for your door opening as we stand together and as we sing.